It was an act of treachery, driven by the desire to destroy. The goal was to kill, not just a few, but numerous unsuspecting people. The carefully crafted plan was carried out with precision. The thirst for destruction was satisfied. And as a result, lives were shattered and death permeated the air. During this first week of October, the event that might come to mind upon hearing that description is the terrible massacre that unfolded in Las Vegas 1 year ago Monday. Described by one news source as the deadliest mass shooting in modern American history, it left 58 people dead and hundreds wounded. But there have been countless events in the long history of this war-torn world which could also fit that description. As a matter of fact, the massacre last year is but an echo of many, many echoes over the centuries of the greatest and most destructive assault and terrorist attack ever launched on planet Earth. The attack of Satan in the Garden of Eden, that attack which left the entire human race fallen. That was the most treacherous of all acts, driven by the devil's desire to destroy, and not just a few people, but the entire human race. And he succeeded. By one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, in that all have sinned. The devil's temptation, launched there in the garden, was the first and foremost of all terrorist attacks against mankind. Many lesser attacks, such as the one last year, have followed in its wake. And in our culture, anyway, it's customary to remember such events in our history. News broadcasters tend to remind their audiences of the anniversaries of such events and encourage listeners to remember the things that happened. But the act of remembering is not unique to us humans. As we continue this series, which considers things which God is not and which God does not do, as well as things which do not happen in the lives of his people, we'll consider this morning how God does not forget us, the victims of the very first terrorist attack. Through the prophet Isaiah, we read chapter 49, verses 14 through 16, Zion has said, "The Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me." Then comes the Lord's response. "Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Even though they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Look, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me." There is certainly some benefit to remembering some of those dark days in American history, such as the massacre in Las Vegas. By doing so, we honor those who did fall, our fellow Americans. By doing so, we are also reminded of the frail nature of earthly life and how quickly it can be snuffed out. Perhaps also by meditating and thinking about some of those events, we are led to a greater appreciation for the peaceful surroundings with which we have been blessed. But isn't it remarkable how little our act of remembering can actually accomplish? We can remember the massacre last year all we want, but our remembering won't bring those people back to life. We can remember the hatred that can sometimes emerge in people, driving them to carry out such horrific acts as that, but that remembering won't hold that hatred at bay. Enter now, however, the Lord, who reveals through Isaiah the fact that he does not forget us, his people, and that his act of remembering means and does much more than ours ever could. If God's act of remembering his people were the same as our thinking and remembering of other human beings, there wouldn't be much comfort in that. if God's act of remembering his people simply amounted to feeling some sympathy and empathy for the difficult times that his people went through, that would not be all that reassuring or comforting. But the fact that God does not forget us, his children by faith, is tremendously reassuring because his act of remembering means that he is actively engaged in helping and blessing us. Can a woman forget her nursing child, he asks, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? The Lord likens the attention that he has on his people to that of a mother looking at her newborn child nursing. It's impossible that she would forget that little infant. And the Lord said it's impossible that he would ever forget his people. It's impossible that he too would cease to feel compassion for his own. A compassion that has already taken action and which continues to take action on our behalf. The action which God took in response to that first terrorist attack in the garden was, of course, astounding. Shortly after the devil pulled off his horrific deed, there he was, the all-knowing, always remembering Lord of heaven, coming to his children with more than mere emotion. He approached with the remedy, the solution. He promised salvation, a salvation that would completely reverse the eternal effects of the devil's deadly deed. In her Magnificat, Mary exclaimed how the Lord has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Because of his divine mercy, God sent his only Son to reverse the devastation, to undo the death, to cancel the guilt, and to restore eternal life. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, Jesus also himself likewise partook of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The one who never forgets us wasn't about to let the old evil foe have the final victory over us. And he's not about to let lesser terrorists thwart his gracious plans for his people now. He who kept us in mind way back in the Garden of Eden continues to keep us in mind now and continues to govern with our best interests always in mind. It's not that we can't at some point experience physical harm. It's that no physical harm can ever come to us without his permission. No physical harm can occur in our lives without his knowledge. Nothing physically harmful can happen to his children that will not in some way be used by him to our benefit. He who watches us even more closely than a mother watches her nursing newborn, he is the one who takes all things that come one's way and by his own amazing, powerful way, somehow uses them for our eternal advantage. He gave his son to reverse the eternal effects of the devil's primary assault. He'll do whatever it takes to bring all else now to the service of his people. A time for remembering. We are at such a time right now as it was on October 1st, 2017, that a deadly attack was launched in Las Vegas. It was a horrific event. And sadly, terrible acts continue, as they have ever since that greatest attack back in the Garden of Eden. But reflections on such events shouldn't generate fear or nervousness. For at this time, and at every other time, God does not forget about us. And his ongoing remembering means ongoing blessings for his people. Look, I have engraved you upon the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. God never forgets, so we never need fear. His remembering is spoken of in hymn 534 this morning, singing stanzas 2 and 5. Hymn 534, 2 and 5. Thank you.
Say.